Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello again. Welcome to another episode of Adult Child of Dysfunction. Today, our guest is Valerie Stansel, and she has quite a story, and I'm going to let her just introduce herself, and we're going to move right into this conversation. Hello, Valerie.
Hi, how are you? And thank you so much for having me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a seven-time best-selling author, just received my seventh best-selling Amazon author last week. So I'm very, very proud of that. I am a certified domestic violence advocate. I am a international speaker. And I am a coach and a mentor to women. I have such a passion for women who have gone through any type of emotional trauma, any type of domestic violence, because unfortunately I can relate to that because I have lived that. I am currently living that right now. I have been married for a year. I married a bishop. And everything was great. You know, everything was great up until March. I had noticed some things prior to a couple, I guess maybe 4 weeks prior to the thing that finally broke the camel's back, the straw that broke the camel's back from our conversation that I overheard. And I think I noticed some things earlier, but I kind of dismissed it because he's a bishop. And my training as a certified domestic violence advocate talks about the red flags. In my book, I talk about the red flags. But the things that I noticed, I kind of put to the side because, again, he's a bishop. You can't put those things aside. Those red flags are relevant to everyone, no matter what title, no matter what position they hold. None of that. Those red flags do not mean an upcoming carnival. It means that you need to stop what you're doing. So my story continues. I overheard a conversation between him and someone that is in his family, but, you know, said a lot of things about me. So I think the red flags that I seen prior now became very, very obvious to me. And we are now separated. But the thing that I want to talk about the most is that narcissism is a part of domestic violence. But narcissism is a relationship like no other. They talk about toxic relationships. I don't even think toxic relationship can define being in a relationship with someone like this.
It doesn't even touch it. The word doesn't even touch it.
Doesn't touch it. It doesn't touch it. The emotional and mental abuse that you suffer at the hands of a narcissist, the gaslighting, the blame shifting, the projection, the ruminating, all of these things, and then the trauma bonding is unexplainable. You know, people tell me, oh, you know, you should just move on and you should do that. But getting out of a relationship with a narcissist is very, very hard, very, very draining. I'm at a better place now because I'm in therapy. I've gotten some spiritual help as well, but it's a pattern. You know, the love bombing. If you don't know what the love bombing is, they come to you with the most grandiose personality, sweep you off your feet, everything that you want, because we're considered supplies. So now they've moved from the last supply and you're the new supply. So they're going to come love bombing you, giving you everything you need. calling you all the time, texting you all the time, being that person that you have always wanted. And that phase can last for up to a year. And it can be very quick. You're not doing what they want, so they'll discard you. And then in that love bombing stage, that will last for however long it lasts in your particular situation. Then you go to the devaluing stage when they start to let their mask down a little bit because they are starting to see some things that you're doing that they don't like. So they start showing you their true selves. And you start picking up on that. So you start to, complaining to them. You're not doing the same thing you used to do before. Why are you acting that way? Here comes the gaslighting. You can say, you told me that you were going to be home at 9 o'clock. It is now midnight. I never told you that. I told you I was coming home. I didn't tell you a time. Yes, you did tell me a time. You said 9 o'clock. Well, I'm home, so what difference does it make? I don't want to talk about that now because they want to dismiss the confrontation because you're calling them on what they did and they don't want to hear it. They always want to move away from that and then act like it never happened. You always talk about that. No, it was 5 minutes ago that we just talked about it. But they want to make it like it was last week or last year. And those are the type of things you can say. The sky is blue, it's raining outside. No, it's not. It's just a bad day. I mean, it sounds so trivial, but this is what they constantly do to the point that it makes you start to doubt yourself. I was at the point where I thought I was going crazy. He would say things to me. I knew I heard those things. And he told me it was a lie. I started to believe it was a lie. So therefore, it was a lie because that was my final conclusion that I must have made this up. And then I started to understand what he was doing. So I started to record him because I know that I heard you say that. He would hear the recording. I didn't say that.
Or I didn't, they would completely deny it, or he probably was like, well, that's not what I meant. You
Right.
should know what I mean. And then all of a
Right.
sudden it's your fault because you misinterpreted what
Right.
those literal words.
It's a very, very bad situation to be in. I consider myself, I don't like to say strong woman because I don't like that identification as a strong woman because a lot of people are like, I'm a strong woman, I don't need nobody's help, I don't need that. To me, that's a weak woman. But I mean strong woman, and I know who I am. I know what I bring to the table. I have a lot of things, going for me. And he broke me down, because of the blame shifting and me thinking that I didn't hear that, and him cursing at me. And I would tell him, no, I did not. I did not talk to you like that. I just heard you. I remember screaming one time that I heard you say that to me. He told me he didn't. And then you find yourself apologizing to them all the time. They will not apologize to you. I mean, he has apologized, but it was an apology that was benefiting him. It
Right.
wasn't really apologizing to make me feel better.
No, it was
It was
something to get what he wanted.
right, exactly. And it's just one thing after another after another. I have never had to record anyone's conversation. I have never been made to feel like an idiot. I have never been made to feel that my self-worth was worth nothing. And that's exactly how I felt in that relationship. Unfortunately, I started getting sick. I was sick for probably 5 months. And I went to the doctors. I've had procedures done. They couldn't find anything. When he wasn't there, I didn't feel like that. When he came back, I felt like that. So I equated it to that. I have 2 degrees, in one in science, one in health administration. I worked in healthcare for over 30 years. I'm not a dumb woman by any means. But I started to think, well, do you think it's him? Talking to myself,
Right.
do you think it's him that's making you feel so? No, I don't think that that's what it is. And, the doctors couldn't find anything. And I just went on like that. And then when we finally got to the discard stage, that I didn't really realize that I was in, but, looking back, everything with to me in a narcissistic relationship is you're always looking back. When did this happen? How did this happen? Where did I miss the mark on that? And I realized that the more I told him I was sick, the more he talked about me being sick, like he wanted me to be sick. And then this is what I think really sealed it for me. I'm very spiritual. Like I said, my husband's a bishop. I pray, I read a lot. Unfortunately, narcissistic behavior has some demons behind it. And I started, and I have a very strong spirit of a discernment. I can see things, I can hear things. So I went to him to tell him about these spirits that I seen in the church. And I can recall this day like it was today. His nonchalant, very laid back attitude. He was sitting on the couch, had his hand, like this. And I said, I want to tell you something that I noticed at church. I noticed the spirit of Jezebel. I've noticed the spirit of Leviathan, idolatry. And he just looked at me. Yeah, I know. And from that point on, everything just grew worse and worse. I left, like I said, from a conversation that I heard. He was telling this person all types of intimate things about me, how he didn't care for me anymore, how he wanted me to leave, but he wasn't going to put me out, but he was going to make it so bad for me that I would want to leave. All of the friends that we had, that he had introduced me to that were his friends, they're not going to like her anymore because I'm going to tell them what she did. My daughters are not going to like her anymore. Nobody's going to like her. He also was getting ready to take me on a trip for my birthday. So this person he was talking to said, "What are you going to do about that?" "Oh, I'm going to take her." Because I said, "I'm a man of my word. I'm going to take her." But that doesn't mean I want to be with her. I mean, some of the things, I don't even want to repeat that he said,
Understood.
cut me to the core. And I had someone in the car, another pastor friend that's very good friends with him, who was trying to mentor me through all of this, heard the same conversation. I'm not going to lie, I totally lost my mind. Because in during this conversation, they were laughing at me. They thought everything was funny. He was, she was like, "Well, how old is she?" "Well, she's 69. Oh, she's set in her ways. He's 65. He's not set in his ways." I mean, I cannot tell you, Tammy, how devastating that was. I couldn't even drive because we were in the car. That's how the person that was with me heard the conversation, because he butt dialed me and he didn't realize it. So I heard the entire conversation. I mean, they were still talking after an hour. I couldn't take it anymore. So I went home and I gathered my things and I left, went to my daughter's. He never called me. He never, cared to even see where I was at. Because I think in his mind, he was like, "Oh, I won. She's gone." So the next day, I sent him a text, line by line, everything he said. "I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that." And he still never called me. So he had surgery scheduled for that Monday. And during the conversation, there were two things that I heard. Him talking to this person. And then at the end, She said, "Well, what are you going to do about church tomorrow?" I don't know, because I don't want her to come. I hope she doesn't come. I just want to be with my people." Another devastation, because we have
Right.
talked about that. You know how you care about them more than me, but he's
Right.
telling me I'm jealous. But again, remember, we've only been married for 11 months. This is a
Right.
new marriage. You know, he felt as though I was smothering him. So I did not take him for that surgery on Monday. I wanted that person that he talked to, or your people, as you proclaimed, to take you to the hospital. So in his slandering of my name, he's telling everybody I abandoned him and I didn't care for him, not telling them the conversation. So I think that discard, because that's the next stage, discard.
Right.
He was preparing to discard me. I think that he was using this person as a triangulation. That's
Right.
another term that is in a narcissistic relationship. And I don't know how long has he been talking to her about that, about this. And so that was my discard. You know, he was able to discard me, but I left, which still in the end, he didn't like that
No.
because I discarded him. I left. And so now, within 30 days of my leaving, he's posting him and another woman. And
So
again,
he's just got
mind
another
you,
one. It's just a cycle for them, though. It's,
that's new supply.
yeah, it's exactly. So it's just a repetitious over and over and over. And it is devastating. It is very hard. I mean, I can't imagine, but it's crazy. And for the listeners out there, it doesn't have to be a spouse either. So it can be a parent,
Yeah.
it could be a sibling, it could be a cousin, it can be anybody in your life.
Your employer, it can
Employ.
be a friend, it does anyone.
Absolutely. So tell us the positive stuff. Tell us how you got the red flags, you saw the stage, you got out. So how are you doing now? And how did you do it? Because that's what we really want to know.
I just gathered my things. I left, went to my daughter's, and was devastated for a month. I cried every day because I kept replaying that
That
conversation and
conversation.
the things that he said, then the things that I noticed 4 weeks prior. So now we're on month two, and I'm doing better. I don't cry as much. I really focus on my healing because it is going to be a journey of healing. I know that I'm in a stage of trauma bonding because of, we had a lot of great times together. And that's what you always, resonate. Oh, I remember we did this and I remember we did that. But it comes to my, oh, I remember when he did this, which was bad. Remember he did this bad thing. Remember he said this about you. Remember he disconnected from you. And his abandonment, him telling people he abandoned, I abandoned him. I want to tell him so bad that you abandoned me months ago, but no contact. And that's the thing that you have to do. As hard as it is, as much as you want to reach out to them, don't. It's the no contact that will help you to move forward. Don't, if you're friends with them on social media, take yourself off. Don't be like, oh, let me get my phone and just send me, just check and see what he's doing. You don't want to do that because that's how I seen the picture of him with this woman.
Well, and ultimately, like you said, it's a cycle and he's going to do it over and over again. You go, not going no contact is you entering back in there is just going to be more lies, more manipulation. It's going to start all over again with new love
Yes.
bombing because it's you're now a new prospect. If you come
Right.
back into his life, you're now a new person to
Yeah.
him. It's just a cycle and
It
he's
is such
going
a
to,
horrible cycle.
it is a horrible cycle. So, for the people listening, you said, okay, red flags. So you had the conversation. Give the listeners a couple other red flags to look for because we, a lot of the people listening to this podcast have been in these type of relationships or question whether or not they might be in one. Because I mean, we all have a narcissistic tendency in us. We can all act narcissistic, but there's a huge difference between acting narcissistic or doing something that seems narcissistic and actually having a narcissistic personality where you're it, there's no empathy, there's no compassion, there's literally just all self-serving, egotistical perfectionism coming from the other side. So what are some other signs that you had that now looking back, you can go, oh yeah, that makes sense. I see that.
His eagerness to get married, you know, but he knew I wanted to get married and he wanted to get remarried. So his eagerness to want to get married, his overwhelming personality of calling and texting. I've been in other relationships. People don't call and text like that. But because you are fooled by that, that might, you know, and you have to also take into consideration where you are mentally and emotionally. Because if I had been, I think, in a different state and of mind and not always focusing on him being a man of God, so that can't be what he's doing, you have to realize where you are emotionally. But, you know, the control, you know, oh, I don't want to go here. I want to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to wear this certain thing. I want you to go here. Him telling you he loves you like in 2 days.
That's a big
You
one.
know, yeah, in 2 days. And this doing everything that you could possibly want a man to do. Because believe it or not, they are so good at love bombing that it's not, you know, I think that they are perfectionists at that. They study you, they know what you like, they know what you don't like. They know, I mean, he knew I was an author. He knew I was a speaker. I have 2 degrees. I have this, I have that. He knew everything about me. And, you know, he picked me. And that's the thing that you also have to understand. They research you and they pick you for what you can bring to them at that moment. So you really have to be not so, oh my God, you know, he's just the, you know, the man of my dreams. And he's saying this, stop. Come back to reality and things, listen to the things and be more observant of his overwhelming personality, his grandiose personality of doing like the he took me to the finest restaurants. I mean, he went way out, you know, and then I think, and he kept telling me he loved me. I said, well, you know, into a month, I'm like, I don't love you like that, you know, but I love you. And I'm just going to keep telling you until you just say it to me one day. And that one day came. And the next thing I knew, he's like, you know, I've been going to the jewelry store. I put some money down on a ring. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice, you know, but that doesn't, I mean, I didn't know when he was going to get the ring out. And I didn't know what, you know, was an engagement ring? Was it a friendship ring? He didn't say. He planned a grandiose engagement. Over the top. Again,
Yep.
everything they do is over the top. You have to really look at that and really take a step back and get away from that good feeling that they are giving you and really think about, is this how relationships are established?
Right.
And I didn't really think about that. And it, I mean, like I said, I'm 69 years old. I've dated a lot of men before, and no one comes across that strong.
Right.
That, and because he's doing everything you want, you don't look at that. Like I said, you think them red flags mean it's a circus coming, and believe me, it is a circus coming
It is
from
a
that
circus. There's no doubt about that.
relationship. And you know, now I'm getting ready to do an anthology for women of domestic violence, specifically those that are suffering from narcissism. I speak about narcissism on my podcast. I put things on social media about
What's the name of
narcissism.
your podcast?
Speak up and speak loud.
Make sure we're going to put that in the show notes, but I just want to make sure I write that down. Speak up and speak loud. I love it.
Yes, and I have I have a narcissism series that I do every third Wednesday of the month, and then Speak Up and Speak Loud comes on every Thursday. But we talk about all the different things that you don't understand, the different types of narcissism. This week we're going to be talking about recovery and healing from a toxic relationship. All these things that you don't think that they are. I have so many women following me now because of doing this. All of them, believe it or not, their husbands are men of God in some capacity. It is in the church, like, it's unbelievable how much it is in the church. It really helps me to understand what I've been involved in. But at that time when I'm on, I'm not talking about me. I really want to get this information out to women because of how cunning they are, how good they are at what they do, and how they can fool you. And to hear the stories from these women of devastation. Women have committed suicide in relationships like this. It is a relationship like no other. The separation, exiting the relationship is like no other. I have talked to women that have been in relationships for over 20 years and left and still are affected.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an easy, I've broken relationships up with normal people, and in a month or two you're over it. This is a long healing process. I'm in therapy, like I said. I am getting spiritual counseling. I have women that are supporting me because at any moment I can break down. And I'm not going, I have thought about taking my life because it was just, to me, it was a quick solution to a problem that I could not deal with. But I had to realize, you think about that because it takes you away from that problem,
Right.
but you also have to realize that's a permanent.
That's a permanent decision, yes.
Right. And it affects your family, affects your friends, and it's a selfish way of getting out of something. I would advise you to get as much therapy as you can, to join a support group. And I have a support group. These women are amazing. And you have to talk about it. You can't suffer in silence. You cannot be embarrassed. You cannot. Oh, I don't want anybody to know. There is no shame. Believe me, no shame. If you're talking to another woman who has experienced this, there is no shame. And I don't really care. I don't have any shame for people that aren't, in a relationship.
On the flip side, there's a lot of women too. There's guys out there that are in the same situation. My mother was a complete narcissist. And when you talk about, like, I think now, like you were going through this conversation about like recording things, what I wouldn't have done for like a cell phone back then to take pictures of things that she would move and manipulate and try to think, make me think I was absolutely nuts. I'd be like, why did you touch that stuff? And I didn't. She's like, you're crazy. And it literally, like you said, it makes you question your own sanity. And that's what it's, I mean, that word gaslighting, that's where it came from, was that book back in the what, 20s, 30s, 40s or whatever.
That movie. I think Ingrid Bergman was in that. He kept trying to make her think she was crazy.
And yeah, and it almost, yeah, I mean, it works. It definitely works. It's such a manipulating situation to be in. But yeah, and there's, it's women, it's men, it's aunts, it's uncles, it's people that you're, it's anywhere. So you
Anywhere.
just, the best line of defense is the red flags and being confident enough to know what you want. And when you see a flag, red flag, to be able to walk away. Because a lot of people that have grown up and they grew up in all these toxic relationships to begin with, when someone comes at them with love bombing, that's the most attention and the most validation. Even if it's fake, it doesn't matter. They don't know that. And that's the most they've ever gotten their entire lives. So it's very easy to get sucked in.
Very
Super
easy. And
easy, super easy.
they got you, and they're going to get whatever they need from you. But please know, like Tammy and I were talking about, the next person, I'm sure that this new person is like, oh, I'm not going to do those things that she did. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I want you to understand, don't let that make you think, oh my God, he's happy with that person, because he will never be happy with anyone. She will never be happy with anyone. That energy that they're trying to exhibit to you, use that same energy a couple months down the line when he does the same thing to you.
Right.
And then he'll do the same thing to the next. He'll do the same thing to the next. Because what we don't understand, in our when we're separated from them and we're doing, oh, reminiscing and thinking, oh my God, should I go back? No, don't go back. Because what you were to them, what you thought you were to them, you were nothing. The love, they didn't love you. You were a supply, so they loved you for that moment, for whatever you were bringing to them. In the relationship, it's whatever you can bring to them.
I mean, you hate to use the term, but it's a notch on the bedpost. It's
Yes.
it you're just another one. You're
You're
just
just
in.
another one.
Yep.
But unfortunately, I married him.
But fortunately, you got out. So there is healing. There is a tomorrow. There is, now you know the red flags. You hopefully, God willing, will never do it again.
Never, never, never. And I'm in such a, it happened Saturday. I was out, just doing something, and I realized that I was walking around like a zombie. I had no emotion, no feeling, and I said, "Wait a minute." I came home, I prayed, and I just got a hold of myself, and I'm like, "Why are you thinking that you're less than? Do you know how amazing you are? Do you know what you bring to the table?" I had to reconnect, find myself again. And I have felt good ever since then. Do I still cry? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because it still hurts. But now I'm coming back to myself. I'm finding my voice again. I'm finding my self-worth again. And you have to get to that point, and you will get to that point if you don't continue to try and, well, let me just see what they're doing, or let me just call them. Because they're, I called him one time last in March, and he made me feel worse than when I was in a relationship.
Yeah, I was gonna say calling isn't gonna, especially because when, like you said, they're so egotistical and they're so, it's all about them. So the fact that you left, you there's some anger there. So the fact that, it's kind of like you kind of want a little bit and they do not like that. So
No, they
calling
don't.
is never going to make things better. You're never going to get a straight answer. You're never going to get the truth. You're never going to
Never.
get anything real from this person ever. So just don't even. Don't. It's crazy to dream it.
Yeah, because they're always going to be the victim, and you're always going to be the bad person. And they have several lives. I mean, we could be on here for hours talking about, a narcissistic person.
Yep. So if you had to give people, so I want to talk a little bit more about what you do because I think it's very cool. You have a new book coming out,
I have a new book coming out.
and we're going to put links to your books. You have several books, so that's very cool. And then you coach and you speak internationally. And do you speak mostly on women empowerment and
Yes, but that's all I speak about, because I don't, if I can say anything to women, no matter what you've been through, you are not that. So don't stay, don't take a pause. Don't make a stop. Continue being who you were called to be and move forward. And I know it's not easy, because I've been there. I have been there. I'm not talking from some research I've done or talking to another woman. I'm talking to you authentically, organically, and transparently. You will move on.
Yes.
You are not that situation. So please remember that.
What would you give somebody as like a first step if they are in this situation? What would you tell them the first thing they should do?
No contact.
Okay. No matter
No,
how hard.
nope,
And that's
nope.
and it is hard because a lot of these you're living with these people, you're married to these people, you're their spouse, you're their whatever it is, you're their child. But you have yes,
You have to
and a support group. And I would add no contact, and then you need to find a support group because you
Yes,
can't do it
you need
alone.
to go to therapy. You need to go to therapy, because A lot of times you can suffer from PTSD. I remember hearing that. I'm like, well, I wasn't in the service. I wasn't doing that. But no, PTSD is any type of trauma. And this is trauma. This is definitely trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if people want to find out more, because I want to find out more, where do they reach out to you? Where do they get hold of you? What's the best, quickest place?
You can get the quickest place is Valerie at purposedforwellness.com.
Okay.
I always check my emails. I am always reaching out to women because women are reaching out to me. And then if you want to see all the things that I do, you can go on www.beheardministry.com.
Okay, Be Heard Ministry. You guys heard that, right? Be Heard Ministry. I love it. Love it. And then I'm sure, like I said, we could talk for hours, hours and hours and hours. But I want you to leave the guests or the listeners, you are the guest, with your best piece of advice because we all get wrapped up. So it's so easy to get wrapped up in this. And it happens before you know what even hit you. So, best piece of advice to either avoid it to begin with or to deal with it once it's there.
I want to give you the advice to avoid it.
Okay.
Stop looking at them at the red flags like it's a circus coming. You cannot change that red flag to yellow. You cannot look at it as just a flag. Look at it as a red flag. And what does red represent? Stop.
Stop.
Stop. Don't pause and let me see what he does next. No, because it's going to be a next. Stop and move on. Stop and move on. Do not try and change the trajectory of the color of the flag. None of that. Stop.
I mean, if it's a spade, it's a spade. Call it a spade. You know what I mean? It's
That's like a duck, it's a duck.
a duck. It's a duck. Don't try to call it something else. It is what it is. And that's, I mean, that's a great piece of advice because you can't change people. People have to want to change. There is
Exactly.
no, so what you think getting in, whether you're thinking, oh, well, it's me, I'm different, or it's, you know, whatever the situation is, you can't change people. They have to want to change.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Valerie, like I said, I could talk forever, but can't.
Yeah,
But
that's true.
thank you so much for coming on, and I'm going to definitely put all the notes in the show notes and all the links and everything so that people can follow you and hear more. I can't wait to hear some of your speeches, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to make other women aware of what's out there.
I think it's so important and I appreciate it, and I think many people out there are appreciating it. So for those of you people listening, look for those. There's three stages: the love bombing, the devaluing, and the discard stage. And it is a cycle, and it will never stop with them. If you are involved in it, the narcissist, like I said, whether it be a spouse, a child, a son, a daughter, a cousin, whoever it is, you need to stay away. You need to get help for yourself because your own health and mental well-being is the most important thing there is. So thank you
Absolutely.
very much, and you all come back next week.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.